This is the IBJ podcast for the week of March 25th, 2019. I'm Mason King. Welcome back to the podcast, folks. We're going to get to today's story from Sideways Angle. Here's my story. I grew up in Indianapolis, and like a lot of folks back in the day, I worked in restaurants as a teenager. You might remember Renee's Delicatessen in Broderville, for example. Now, as anybody who has worked in a restaurant knows, there's a lot of wasted food and drink, unless you are a stickler about portion control. If you consistently put too many pepperonis on a pizza, it can cost you. And we all know that a lot of beer can get wasted between the keg and the pint glass. The Indianapolis-based startup called SteadyServe Technologies came up with a tech-based beer management system. It could monitor the amount of beer left in kegs, send digital alerts when supplies are low, and collect gobs of data on customer consumption. It sounded to a lot of investors like a simple, data-friendly solution to a common problem. Now, SteadyServe was founded in 2012, and over several years, it raised nearly $30 million from investors. And in February of this year, it filed for bankruptcy. So what happened? There's a plan in motion to save SteadyServe and get it back on its feet, led by one of the most influential and successful entrepreneurs in modern Indianapolis history, David Becker. IBJ's editor, Greg Andrews, my boss, has the story in this week's paper. Greg, welcome to the podcast.
My pleasure to be here.
Now, first off, we should say that your story is based largely on recordings that you acquired of a bankruptcy hearing on February 28th. Now, I take it SteadyServe supporters were not interested in being interviewed.
I wasn't able to reach David Becker, unfortunately, so I relied on the audio file that's part of the court record.
Now, I mentioned David Becker before. Tell me quickly, how would people in central Indiana best know of David Becker? What's the brand that he's best associated with?
Today, he's the CEO of a very successful bank, First Internet Bank Corp. But his days in the tech industry go back really to the early 1980s, way before there really was what people might call a tech industry in central Indiana. He had a company called Remember Data Services that was a data processor for credit unions across the country. He later sold that for $24 million. He's invested in many, many tech companies locally. He started other companies, sold other companies. He's a big, big player in the tech scene. He helped develop what today is known as TechPoint. So he's very well respected and has a lot more experience in the industry than most of the other big players today.
Now, if we approach the story from a typical timeline standpoint, he doesn't show up for a little bit. But I did want to have him introduce himself through his testimony at the hearing. Now, here he is asked why he would bother trying to resuscitate a company that has done nothing but lose money.
An analogy I used with Steve was the companies in the 24th mile of a marathon. They're closing in on the finish line. They're not quite there yet. But I think the company can get to the finish line. I've been a part of the tech community here in Indianapolis, as we stated earlier, the old man of the industry for close to 40 years. And there's a lot of investment in this company to date. And I think it would be a shame for it to implode when it is relatively close to that finish line. It would be a tremendous black eye to the technology industry here in central Indiana. And it's, I think, as a going concern, it can get to the finish line and return a profit to shareholders, pay the creditors, and be a thriving company.
So there's David Becker. So let's go back. When was SteadyServe founded? What was the original concept?
The original concept for SteadyServe, which was started in 2012, it initially focused on a system called iKeg, that monitors the amount of beer that's in kegs at taverns, stadiums, and restaurants, and sends digital alerts when kegs are low. And it helps reduce waste and ensures that restaurants have the right amount of beer on the premises to keep their customers happy.
Yeah, and this seems like such an intuitive idea. I mean, I can understand it. I would invest in it if I wanted to, or if I had any money. What were the expectations in the first few years?
There was tremendous buzz about this company. The CEO, Steve Hirschberger, as early as 2013 was predicting that within a couple of years, the company could have $25 million in revenue. But it wasn't just people involved directly who were excited. Red Herring, which follows Technology Investments across the globe named it in 2015 to its Global 100 list of the most promising startups from Asia, Europe, and the Americas. So excitement was very high, and the company was getting note well beyond central Indiana.
And how much money did it raise?
Ultimately, it raised about $30 million, including investments from dozens upon dozens of local people.
Who are some of the better known investors?
One of the big investors was the investment affiliate of the Indiana Spine Group and Medical Practice in Carmel. They're a major investor. A man who I had not heard of before, but has a very successful business in town, named Robert Evely, was a major investor almost from the start. And unbelievably, ultimately poured almost $13 million or approximately $13 million into the company.
Oh, so he's by far the biggest investor.
Yes.
So how did things go in the first few years?
Well, a startup by its nature burns through a lot of money early on and then builds scale, builds its customer base, and then revenue is supposed to shoot up. With SteadyServe, that second step never happened. The revenue did not shoot up. In fact, in 2018, revenue was only about $379,000.
Wow. Do you have a sense of what went wrong? What happened?
From what I have been able to gather, I am not sure what went wrong. It's apparent that the sales process did not go as hoped. You need, you know, many, many hundreds or if not thousands of customers to really generate the revenue to scale up, and at $379,000, they obviously didn't get anywhere near what they needed on the customer acceptance side.
So we get to 2018 or so, and as they say in the startup world, it sounds like SteadyServe pivoted a little bit. That was about a year ago. And what was the new idea or the amended idea?
Well, I think that they no doubt noticed the amount of attention being shown to big data in all aspects of business these days, taking information, analyzing it in far more sophisticated ways than business historically had. And so that, starting earlier in 2018, that became a big focus, and they developed a product or refined a product that allowed retailers to boost their profitability by really on a nightly basis evaluating their product mix and pricing structure and making decisions with the very latest information that allowed them to become more profitable. The sales push for this product really started in the second half of last year, mm-hmm. So it's still quite a new product for them.
So I take it, though, that Robert Evely had had enough.
Through most of the company's existence, Robert Evely was a complete believer. They needed to raise another round, and he kept putting more money in and more money in and more money in. And in fact, according to the court documents, he agreed to personally guarantee a $4 million loan, and the company defaulted on that loan. So out of his own pocket, he had to step up and make that $4 million payment to Centier Bank last year. Finally, in February of this year, just 2 days before the bankruptcy was filed, Evely filed a lawsuit in Hamilton County asking for a receiver to be appointed and for the company to be overseen by a receiver until it would be sold to another party. All of this was in an effort to basically cut his losses and thinking that other ownership might be able to yield better results since he'd run out of patience.
So then is the bankruptcy filing kind of a defensive move from the SteadyServe side?
That is correct. The bankruptcy filings have the legal effect of staying litigation, so the lawsuit was automatically put on hold.
Now, when you get into bankruptcy proceedings, in particular for startups, we have a lot of investors. What happens to that money that the investors sank into the business?
So you have equity investors who put in cash in return for stakes in the business. Those people typically are wiped out in a bankruptcy because creditors, people who are owed money, vendors, people who lent the company money, those people are ahead of equity holders in the bankruptcy process. So it's unclear exactly how the bankruptcy will play out. The filings indicate the company has just $55,000 in assets and $6.5 million in liabilities.
Oh,
so it's a grim situation.
It's turning grim. So was Robert Evely from this from the tech world? What was his interest in this? Or maybe a better question is, where did he come from?
I had never heard of Robert Evely, and I'm always surprised in business how in covering business, there are many very successful companies across central Indiana who go about doing what they do and don't make headlines and maybe are never written about in IBJ. The company that Robert Everly led is one of those. It's called Lawler Manufacturing Company. It's a century-old maker of flow control and mixing valves for the plumbing industry. So it's not the sexiest of businesses, but it's clear that he did very well as president of that company because you can't invest the kind of money he invested unless you're in a position to be able to absorb some pretty significant losses.
Now, let's bring into our story David Becker. How did he get involved in SETEXERF?
Well, the company has dozens and dozens of investors, but it's interesting to note that he has not, up till now, been an investor. His involvement started really last fall when Steve Hirschberger, the longtime CEO and co-founder of the company, just started having conversations with him about troubles the company was having and what the solutions might be. So initially, Becker gave advice, and then that evolved where he joined the board in December, and then he became the board chairman, and by January, he was the co-CEO. So he and Steve Hirschberger now are co-CEOs.
Wow, so he's really motivated. He obviously sees something there that he likes.
Definitely. While he wasn't previously involved, he's putting his money behind that belief. He and the Indiana Spine Group investment affiliate are providing a $1 million loan to the company in bankruptcy court that will help it stay afloat, basically. It's been losing about $200,000 a month, so that amount of money will give it several more months of life to try to survive and ultimately thrive. His longer-term vision is, now that that loan has been made and approved by the bankruptcy court, his longer-term vision is he wants, over the next 90 days, to raise $3 million to $5 million to really help the company take off. He says there's a lot of reason for optimism because just in the month of February, the company brought on 22 new customers. He sees evidence that this pivot is really starting to pay off for the company, and he thinks that kind of performance can be the performance month by month going forward. Part of that is that the product he has a lot of belief in, but he thinks he also refined the sales process. Once he got involved at SteadyServe, he took basically a PowerPoint presentation that he thought was way too cumbersome with 47 slides and boiled it down to something that he thinks is much more likely to get a restaurant or tavern owner excited.
Let's go to this February 28th bankruptcy court hearing for SteadyServe. What was the purpose of that hearing?
The purpose of that hearing was to get the court's approval for that $1 million loan from David Becker and Indiana Spine Group's investment affiliate. Robert Everly was actually, and his investment company, were actually opposing that loan because it had a very unusual condition on it, and that was that the loan would be put first in line for repayment above existing secured creditors. And that meant that Everly, who's already out a large sum, is behind Becker and the Spine Group affiliate in repayment. So it's normally a loan in bankruptcy court wouldn't be put first in line like that. And Everly didn't think that was fair. But apparently the judge was swayed by Becker's testimony about the potential for the company and Becker's emphasis that if you let this company die, there is no value or virtually no value. So it's essential to keep this as a going concern to ultimately put it in a position of being successful.
Well, let's go to his testimony real quick. Becker is asked at one point, I believe by this SteadyServe attorney, who was a friendly attorney in this situation, how close SteadyServe is to a turnaround.
I think it's close. I honestly think within a 12-month window of time, there's a chance that the company could be operating at a profitable basis, potentially shorter, as witnessed and discussed earlier. There are some big customers that have come and gone and not materialized, but there is a very serious pipeline out here today with good, solid customers. And in software as a service, a lot of it's momentum of the company. And if you get on a roll, success begets success, and it gets stronger with time.
So he's saying a year. I mean, I'm not a businessman. That sounds pretty optimistic.
Not only that, but he said within 3 years, certainly no guarantees, but within 3 years, it might be a company worth $16 million based on the valuations in the software as a service industry. He thought that was not beyond the realm of possibility.
So If we move ahead a little bit in the testimony, the attorney for Robert Evely doesn't quite seem to be buying it. Let's listen to the cross-examination.
Mr. Becker, even though you're new to the field, playing field, are you aware that this company historically has missed its revenue projections in almost every quarter during its existence?
That's my understanding, yes, sir.
All right. And so why should we believe your projections today when you've only been there 2 months and this isn't necessarily your industry? Maybe the SaaS is your business. But why should we suddenly believe that your thoughts with no letters of intent, no deals with major customers signed, and some pilot programs and the prospect of some more pilot programs, what real validation do you have to shift $1 million risk beyond that to RBE?
Then going back to what has happened in the last 3 weeks' time, I came on board in January. The pipeline in installs is 22 since the filing on February 8th. I've had an opportunity to meet with Anheuser-Busch in San Francisco and talk to them about future opportunities for the company in a partnership with Anheuser-Busch. I've seen the proposals and talked to several of the customers that they're working with today in the pilot program basis. I've met with the sales team, got them reorganized and focused in and simplified the selling process. And they're just, I mean, by cleaning it up it's and making it a simple equation, you can go in and help a gentleman improve his business by 25 to 30% for probably less than he's paying for his cell phone on a monthly basis. It's pretty hard not to make that sale.
What stands out to you from that testimony?
The extremes on the two positions are notable. You have an extremely skeptical attorney's named Jim Knauer representing Robert Evely, and then you have David Becker, who believes that there's a lot of reason, a lot of evidence, a lot of positive things happening to justify his much more optimistic outlook.
And so, again, tell us, what then was the result of this hearing? What did the judge decide?
The judge decided that he would approve the loan from David Becker and the Indiana Spine Group affiliate, the $1 million loan. So that means that loan was put at the very highest priority for repayment, put over Robert Everly's debt. So Evely lost the hearing.
And then so what happens now over the next few months? It sounds like Becker's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah, my suspicion and why I didn't hear from David Becker is he says that the goal is to raise $3 to $5 million in the next 90 days. And that's a period where typically companies that are trying to raise money have kind of a low profile because they don't want to be accused of promoting the offering under securities rules. So that may be why I didn't hear from him. But based on what he said in the hearing, he would be in a ambitious and aggressive effort right now to raise $3 to $5 million, and he wants to do that within 90 days.
From there, well, what happens next?
Well, if the company performs as David Becker believes it has the potential to, it keeps adding customers, it keeps adding revenue. At some point, it will have to have a reorganization plan approved in bankruptcy court. He said that he believes that the secured creditors, Robert Evely, I believe, is really the only secured creditor, could be paid in full. Evely is owed several million dollars that are secured. Exactly how you calculate that is something that will have to be nailed down in the court proceedings. But after that, then you have the unsecured creditors, vendors, other parties that are owed for rent on office space, et cetera. He estimated that those parties would get 10 cents to 20 cents on the dollar. So certainly David Becker is eager to put the bankruptcy to bed as quickly as possible and get this company on a long-term path of success.
Great. Well, let's check back in a few months.
That sounds good.
Great. Thanks a lot, Greg.
Thank you.
My thanks again to Greg Andrews. Again, you can find his story in this week's edition of IBJ. And also, just to put this on your radar, Haley Colombo has a fascinating story about ProAct, a local not-for-profit that focuses on engaging at-risk youth in public service projects. It's trying to rebuild after a tumultuous year in which the entire board quit over disagreements with its founder and CEO. Derek Slack admits he made mistakes, including misleading the board over whether he secured insurance for the organization. He's now trying to rebuild trust with ProAx partners and funders. Again, that's in this week's issue, which you undoubtedly have delivered to your home or office, and of course at IBJ.com. Remember, for unfettered access to all of IBJ's award-winning content, just click the subscribe button. Thanks again for making time for the IBJ podcast. I'm Mason King, and we'll be back again next week.